Hey everyone, welcome to the first real episode of my new podcast, Sociology Matters. I'm a researcher, a teacher, an advocate. My name is Marianne Paiva, and for nearly 20 years, I've been teaching sociology at the college level. I love teaching, and I love seeing the light bulb click on in a student's eyes when they suddenly get a concept that we discuss in class. I love it. But recently, we've had to change everything we know about face-to-face teaching and go to a completely online instructional model. This episode of the podcast is geared toward one of the classes I teach, Women, Work, and Family. Recently, we've been learning about gendered messages in the media. Last week, we watched the video Misrepresentation, and this week, I've asked students to find music videos to analyze for the presence of gendered stereotypes. But I love this lesson and lecture when I present it in my classroom, so I wanted to recreate that experience with you all here in a podcast. Bear with me, I've never created a podcast before, and I really have never listened to a lot of podcasts before. But I found that I like this medium better than Zoom or any of the other video chat things. So I want to try podcasting and see how it goes. Okay, so let me warn you about a couple things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to go out and listen and watch some of these videos that we discuss. So don't be afraid to pause the podcast, take a 5-minute break to watch a video, and come back after to join me. I'll be here waiting for you. The other thing is, if you don't have the entire time it's going to take to listen to this episode right now, that's okay. Again, take a break, come back, and I'll still be here waiting for you. I hope that you're going to be able to download this, listen to it as you're going throughout your day. I hope I can guide you towards some good music, and I hope we can get this thing going in the right direction. So, let's take a minute and let's talk about some music, because I love music. Okay, let me start by saying I love country music. I love it. I grew up singing with Barbara Mandrell and Johnny Cash, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn, and later fell in love with George Strait and Reba McEntire. I sing my kids to sleep with Coal Miner's Daughter, and they know every single word. But today, I want to pick on country music a little bit because, number one, I love the music, so I'm very familiar with it. I know the old stuff. I know the new stuff. I used to sing along with my daddy as we were driving around in his big Ford truck in the early 1980s. I am that old. But number two, the reason why I really want to pick on country music today a little bit is because the reputation of country music is this wholesome, family-oriented genre of music. We're able to vilify other types of music, and we have done that for 40 years, right? With rock and roll, with rap in the 1980s, with heavy metal, we can vilify those pretty easily. And we've always kind of held this country music genre up as a pedestal of something that is, you know, wholesome. But I want to debunk a few of those myths for you today, especially revolving around gendered stereotypes. You'll find other things that are troublesome with music videos, country music videos especially sometimes. But today I want to talk about those gendered videos. I love Gretchen Wilson. Gretchen Wilson is this singer who's been around for, gosh, probably 10 or 15 years now. She's had a couple of really fun, great, catchy tunes over the past decade or so. She really popped onto the country music scene with the song Redneck Girl, which is this rockin' and rollin' good time of a song and a video. Gretchen is one of those women who is kind of this, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. I can do whatever a man can do. I am equal. I am all these other things. She's this down to earth country girl, right? And she proves that she doesn't need any man to save her. You know, it's this, it's kind of interesting, persona that she has, in country music. There's a couple other women in country music who have this as well. Miranda Lambert is another one, that they come off with this very, like, you know, we are fierce women and we will take on the world and don't get in our way. And so this is a really interesting kind of conundrum, because you have these women who are saying we are really, really powerful and strong, and we don't fit into any of these stereotypes that we that you want us to. And yet their music and their music videos don't always coincide with that persona. And the song and the video, particularly for Gretchen's probably her biggest hit, Redneck Girl, is the epitome of that. So we'll talk about why girl is a problem later on, but let's just talk about what this video says, right? So this video says that Gretchen, who is a beautiful woman, she, number one, fits into this stereotype. But the video says, right, it picks up where she's out and she's on a ranch. She's riding a four-wheeler. She's getting dirty. She can play guitar. She puts on a mean show. She is, you know, a standalone woman. But what else does this video say? Right, again, Gretchen is saying, I don't have to play into those stereotypes. But on the other hand, Gretchen is on stage in what looks like, you know, kind of a backroom bar room, performing. It's, again, catchy tune, fully dressed, excellent, right? Except there's a female dancer behind her who is sparsely dressed and gyrating her body seductively and fast. It's like, here's Gretchen, she's going to hold her composure, but we've got this woman behind her who is sexualizing this very unsexual song. Why? Why do we need a half-naked woman on stage? Gretchen is a hell of a performer. She doesn't need a dancer. And yet, for visuals, there she is, the half-naked dancer. Okay, fine, I can deal with that, because, you know, Gretchen is still dressed. Except, wait a minute here, she's been out mudding all day. Because, you know, and if you've ever been mudding before, and I have been mudding before, by the way, mudding is a country girl term. I grew up mudding on the banks of the Sacramento River in Northern California. And mudding, where you go out and you ride a four-wheeler or you get in a big truck and you go out and you make a lot of mud, find a lot of mud and then play around in it, is dirty. And so halfway through the video, we find Gretchen going back to her house, and all of a sudden she needs to get undressed to wash the clothes she was wearing, and we see that. Turns out Gretchen fits a very specific body type that we in the mass media expect from our musicians, and we know that because she undresses down to her undergarments. Whatever this song professes to say about strong women is negated with the almost full nudity of the lead singer. It's sad. It is, you know, incredibly frustrating when, and this is the really thing that undermines you, is it's this woman who is professing that she's strong, that she's independent. She doesn't need to show her body off. She doesn't need to show her sexuality, because her voice and her performance are good enough. They're great. They're excellent. And yet, for some reason, we still have to sexualize this woman by taking her down to her panties and bra and showing that off for no other reason other than she's got a great body. It's disturbing, and it's just one trend in country music and in other genres that lead into this, right? So Gretchen Wilson, check out the video. Take a few minutes, check out the video. You'll probably, you know, it's a catchy tune. You might like it. Check it out on YouTube, Gretchen Wilson, Redneck Girl. And then let me know what you think about it. So Sam Hunt is a little bit of a non-traditional country singer. He talks along with his music for whatever reason. I'm not sure. It's like he's talking to people during the song instead of singing to them. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, my daughter loves Sam Hunt. She's 11 years old, and I don't censor her music choices. I don't. A friend of mine asked me a few months ago, do you censor? And I said, absolutely not. They said, of course you don't, right? I don't censor my kids' music. They're 9, they're 11, and they're older, right? And so I don't censor their music, right? Last week, we were driving, and the song Wild Thing came on the radio. I love 80s rap. It's just phenomenal. 90s rap. Oh my gosh. You know, right? Bring back MC Hammer for me. And so, but Wild Thing came on the radio and I turned it up and I started singing along, and my daughter was mortified.
oh my gosh, she turned beet red. She was like, Mom, what is this song? And I said, it's Tone Loc. And she said, Mom, this is a silly song. I said, yeah, it is, right? She was right, because it is a silly song. You can tell that from the first beat of the bass. Yes, it's talking about sex. Yes, Tone Loc is playing the field. Yes, he objectifies women. But he knows, and the listener knows, this song is a silly song. My daughter refused to sing along and said I was weird. Fair enough. A few days later, we're driving again in my husband's car, and this song, Body Like a Back Road by Sam Hunt, comes on the radio. My daughter asked me to turn the radio up, and she proceeds to sing every single word of the song. Okay, here's where I want you to take a break. I want you to go out, take a break, right? Look up this song on YouTube, Sam Hunt, Body Like a Back Road. Don't just listen to it, right? Watch the video, listen to it, get a feel for the song, and then come back to me, okay? Okay, go out, find it, go to YouTube, Sam Hunt, Body Like a Back Road. Take 5 minutes and then come back to me. I'll be here waiting for you. So my daughter, right, she sings every single word of the song. Have you watched it yet? Yeah, you watched it, right? She concludes with, I love this song. I'm like, what? Right? What? Because this song sounds so sweet. It sounds so, right, loving and wonderful and all of these other things. Except this song objectifies women fully. The singer compares the woman of interest to a backcountry road. It lists all of her body parts as comparisons to the curves in her road. There is no mention of personality, of worth beyond how this man can use the woman's body for his sexual pleasure. But it sounds so loving and sweet and honest. This man sings with reverence about this woman's body, all the while focusing solely on her looks and his sexual pleasure. I don't normally censor my daughter's music, but this is definitely one of those songs that I say, Evelyn, what does this song mean, right? What does this song mean? What is he actually saying, and why, right, are we seeing women this way? Because we need to understand that objectifying women, making them into objects, right, and using them solely for our sexual satisfaction is playing into those stereotypes and a really bad message to send to women everywhere. Again, check it out. Body Like a Back Road. See what you think. Let me know what you think about the song and about its messages. Okay, I'm going to pick on Sam Hunt one more time because, I don't know, anyway. He's got this other song that is, again, it sounds like a really nice, sweet, loving song. But when you listen to the lyrics and when you watch the music video, you kind of have to start questioning, what is this actually saying about women and about violence and about helplessness and about the role of men, right? What is this? So first of all, if you haven't watched the video yet, go out and take a minute right now to go watch the video. So go to YouTube, search Sam Hunt, Take Your Time, and listen to it. Take 4 or 5 minutes, right? And then come back to me. I'll be here waiting for you. Okay. So you got it? You watch Sam Hunt, Take Your Time? Okay, this entire song is about a guy trying to hit on a woman at a bar who isn't interested, right? And he knows it. He says, right, she's got a friend waiting to rescue her because of this random guy who's walking up talking to her. And still, he stays and invades her space. He says, I just want to take your time. He knows she doesn't want to talk to anyone, and yet he persists. He's in her bubble, in her space. He can read all of the signs that says she doesn't want him there, and yet he still stays. The video is weird because it doesn't really match up. Right, the song is one thing. This guy in a bar hitting on a woman who really is not interested in his advances, and yet he stays. He doesn't leave her alone. That's a big problem right there. I don't know many women who haven't been in that situation and felt very vulnerable this man wouldn't leave them alone. But the video that has what I can see no connection to the actual song lyrics is weird. It just doesn't match up. the video depicts domestic violence, where in the end, right, it's this whole thing where this woman has a very small baby. She's with this man who is potentially going to abuse her. At first, Sam Hunt kind of walks away. But then in the end, Sam Hunt, the singer, is the hero who saves the damsel in distress. It perpetuates this guy riding in on a white horse saving the day stereotype that is so very gendered. It portrays women as victims, as helpless, as hopeless, as unable to do anything for themselves. And the only thing that will save them is this man that they absolutely have no idea who he is, and he's going to come in and save the day. The whole package of this video, the song with the man who just won't leave the woman alone, and then the domestic violence behind the music video are disturbing all the way around. So if you haven't gone out and done it, go watch Sam Hunt, take your time, and tell me what you think about it. Oh, I love this song. I love this next song. And I love Luke Combs. There is not one song by Luke Combs that I don't absolutely turn up loud and sing along every single word. I love it. He reminds me of my nephew. They just have the same look. Oh my God. I love everything about Luke Combs. He's just this very cool country guy. He's got this song that I think everyone in my house, it's their favorite song. It's called When It Rains, It Pours. Go out and look it up right now. Take a minute. Go to YouTube and search for Luke Combs, When It Rains, It Pours. Right? Press pause right now. Right now. Right now. Press pause. I'll be here waiting for you. Okay. See, I told you I'd still be here when you came back. Did you like it? It is a funny video. It is hilarious. The production value on it is just funny. Everything about the whole video is catchy. There's a great tune to it, great visuals, everything about it. You know, he turns around this thing about, where we normally say, oh my goodness, when it rains, it pours, it's a bad thing. But in this video, when it rains, it pours, it's a good thing, right? He wins the lottery. He's able to buy some gas. He's able to buy some beer. He wins, radio station, a radio station, contest. I mean, you know, and he gets rid of, right, this woman who is what he calls bitching and moaning about the time that I had. It's a great song. I love it. I love it, love it, love it, right? We played it probably 1,000 times at my house last year, always on YouTube watching, right? It's fun. It's a good time. It's every young man's dream weekend. But what are the gender stereotypes that are portrayed here? Right? Number one, you have, again, where the women in this video look a very specific way, right? Very specific body type. But also it perpetuates this trait and stereotype with women about, women being nagging, and, you know, kind of killers of fun. The opening line is, you know, Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad. Bitching and moaning about the time I had, right? He's basically burning the house down. It's bad. And he is kind of making fun of her. And he goes through the song, and it turns out that he's happy to avoid his future mother-in-law. He goes out and he picks up a waitress at Hooters, which depicts, again, a very stereotypical body type of the women who are hired at Hooters. Which is a restaurant chain, not in California, not where I'm at least. And so it perpetuates this nagging girlfriend, nagging wife, this, horrible, mother-in-law persona. When he hits it big on the radio, the girlfriend comes back and tries to make up with him. Again, you know, is she seeking the wealth and fame that he has and will put up with him being, raucous on the weekends? I don't know, but it's a pretty negative video when you think a little bit more deeply about what stereotypes is it perpetuating: nagging women, women of a very specific body type, negative mother-in-law persona. It sounds good, it sounds fun, and yet when we look at these stereotypes, they're pretty damaging overall.
So go out, find Luke Combs. I'm telling you, if you love country music at all, you will love Luke Combs. Look up his song Hurricane. Oh, he's just fantastic. But that doesn't mean that there aren't stereotypes in his music videos and in his music lyrics that aren't harmful to both men and women. Let me know what you think. Whew, we have covered a lot of country music in the past half an hour or so. 40 minutes? I don't know, something like that. We've covered a lot of country music. And I know I'm kind of focusing on country music, and I want to give you a little bit of a reprieve now, though, for all you people who don't really like country music. By the way, my husband said, make sure they know we listen to two kinds of music in our house, country and Western. Well, we also listen to a lot of Guns N' Roses and a lot of rock and roll. Just don't tell him that. Anyway, so for all those people who are like, oh, just please get rid of the country music, I want to talk about pop music a little bit. And so pop music, I'm not really focusing on here, and I want to tell you why. I don't want to let it off easy, but I want to tell you why I don't want to focus on pop music. I just want to kind of give you the highlights. And that is that, you know, in pop music, we have been vilifying pop music since, you know, the Beatles, since Madonna. You know, and the targets are much easier to vilify in pop music when, you know, we almost expect the artists such as Katy Perry, Ariana Grande. By the way, check out Ariana Grande's hit Seven Rings if you haven't done so already. Check out the video. It is a weird video. I'm not even sure what to say about that video, except just check it out, right? But also look at Beyonce, right? When we think about pop music, we tend to expect sexualization that happens with pop music, even though we've got these very strong women out there, right? Don't mess with Beyonce. Don't mess with Taylor Swift. You know, pop music is almost an easier target, and something that we expect is going to be a little bit more dangerous for us than country music. Every once in a while, we get something in pop music that challenges those gendered roles. People like Taylor Swift, right, often challenge gender roles. By the way, oh, okay, hold on. Stop right here. I need you to go out right now. I'm going to be here when you get back. I'll be waiting for you. But I need you to go out right now. I need you to Google YouTube, Taylor Swift, The Man, and go watch that video. Just go watch it. It is so good. Okay, you go on, press pause right now. Go out and find Taylor Swift, The Man, and come right back. Okay, did you go and you came right back and you watched The Man by Taylor Swift? Okay. She challenges and she nails every single one of those stereotypes, right, that we're so concerned about. The difference between how women are treated and men are treated. Taylor Swift does that. So even though Taylor Swift often challenges gender roles, and there are some other women who challenge gender roles as well, you know, in the sea of artists who succumb to the gender stereotypes or make their careers based on the gendered stereotypes, that we're so used to, you know, people like Lady Gaga, sure, today she doesn't fall into those gendered stereotypes as much, but look back 10 years and see what type of music and videos Lady Gaga was putting out. She made her career on gendered stereotypes. So, you know, in the sea of artists who perpetuate those gender stereotypes, the occasional Taylor Swift song that challenges those stereotypes is often missed, forgotten, or, you know, just not played on the radio as much. And so people don't hear them. They just get lost in the sea. With country music, we expect wholesome and sweet, but very often we get the same exact gendered stereotypes, but we don't have our guard up with country music like we do with pop music in order to identify those stereotypes when we hear them. As a result, we normalize and reinforce the stereotypes and never question them, right? When we think about people like Katy Perry, we know Katy Perry is playing us in the video for California Girls. Again, go out, watch it right now. Whew, that is one that I might have to censor for my daughter. Go out and watch it. But, you know, we don't quite know that in so many country songs. Country songs try to get us to believe, right, and try to get us to internalize that culture, where many pop artists like Katy Perry are often, you know, they're playing into that, but we know and they know that we're all playing into that. Okay,
So I've got a few more songs I want to talk about. So let's move on to some pop music that challenge those stereotypes, and let's see exactly how they do it. Oh, Adam Levine, I don't know. This song is difficult because it commits the number one sin of demeaning women. He uses the term girl to refer to a sexual partner. And if you don't know what video I'm talking about, it's Maroon 5, Girl Like You. Now, don't get me wrong. I love this song. This is such a great song. And in fact, I liked it even before I saw the video. It was a little bit off-putting because of that use of the term of girl, right? To refer to a sexual partner. Let me set this straight right here. Let me just debunk any myth about the use of girl as not being a demeaning term for women everywhere. Girls are defined as sexually immature females. Using the term girl in reference to a sexual partner diminishes the value of women. It infantilizes them, and it absolutely diminishes their power in a relationship. And so when someone uses the term girl to reference a sexual partner or a woman who is, right, or a woman, they are, whether they know it or not, they are demeaning the value of the woman. They don't see them as an adult. They don't see them as capable of making their own decisions. They don't see them as being able to be independent. And Adam uses the term girl probably 100 times in this song. Ugh. Ugh. Right? It's in the song title. It breaks my heart that he does this. Right? But then, so I'm like, I just want to dismiss the song. I'm like, do not talk to me like I'm a child. Right? But then he shakes up the whole world with this video. The first time I ever saw this video, I was sitting there and bebopping along with it. I'm singing my whole thing. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, is that Jennifer Lopez in this video? And is that Ellen DeGeneres? And is that Ali Raceman? Because, right, these people are amazing. I'm looking at them going, what is this? And I realize there's all these women. And I'm thinking, wow, it's kind of interesting. Because first I'm thinking it's all these women who are just kind of dancing around Adam Levine, you know, kind of loving up on him, basically. And then I realized, no, there's something different about this video and about how he's portraying these women. First, yes, there is reference to sex. But there's also reference to having an argument and then working on fixing things and reconciling in this video. But more importantly, watch closely with this video and then do some background research on it. This video is filled with women who break the stereotypes of what women are expected to be in our culture. Maroon 5 purposefully had women such as Ali Raceman, who is the Olympic athlete who was brave enough to testify against a doctor who repeatedly sexually assaulted her. There's Ellen DeGeneres, an openly gay woman who risked her entire career to come out publicly on TV in 1997. There's Chloe Kim, who took the gold medal in snowboarding at 17 years old at the Olympics. Then there's Ilhan Omar, who is a U.S. Congress representative, who... There are women of different nationalities, of different skin colors, different religions, different body shapes and sizes, and he sings to all of them. This video is culturally inclusive. It respects women, despite the term girl, and values women for something beyond their looks. Yes, the song, oh, I don't want to like the song, but I love the song because of how the video presents it. So, you know, how do we get that... How do we challenge those stereotypes? We do things like Adam Levine does in this video, where he presents women who don't look like the stereotypical, right, it girl in Hollywood, who don't, who are valued for their bravery, for their courage, for their intellect, and not just their bodies. And he shows them off and says, I want a girl just like you. If you haven't checked out Maroon 5, Girl Like You, check it out. Look it up on Wikipedia. See who's on there. Because I have the feeling you're going to be inspired about all the different ways that they are consciously and subconsciously trying to challenge all those gender stereotypes. So So several months ago, my daughter was staying up late on a Saturday night, and she had a friend over, and they wanted to watch Saturday Night Live because there was a singer that was coming on that they were just thrilled about. And she said, Mom, please, 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 can we stay up? And my daughter's 11, and so I was like, oh, right? Because 11:30, 12 o'clock to stay up for Saturday Night Live is late for me. And I said, yeah, you know, we can do it. And so so we're watching Saturday Night Live, and I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in a long time, even though I love Saturday Night Live, but I haven't watched it in a long time. And we're sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden, this woman comes on like a powerhouse. And I was like, who is this, right? And my daughter and her friend are up there singing along with it. And I said, Evelyn, who is this? And she said, it's Lizzo. And I said, Lizzo? What the hell is Lizzo, right? Because I didn't know. So we watched it that one time, and then I immediately Googled her and tried to find out more about Lizzo and this song that she sang on Saturday Night Live called Good as Hell. And I have since fallen in love with Lizzo because she challenges every stereotype that you could possibly, right, think of. But more importantly, right, with her music, but more importantly with her videos. Her videos are so incredibly powerful in challenging those stereotypes. It just is monumental. So what can I say about this song and the two official videos created for this song? Not just one, two official videos created for this song. Here's what. They are all perfect. Let me just, this one lyric, I love you, I love it. She says, if he don't love you anymore, just walk your fine ass out the door, hair toss, check my nails, feeling good as hell. And the videos only add to the message that a woman doesn't need a man to define her, that self-care is important, and that every body size, hairstyle, and fashion choice is valued. It is amazing. The first video is, you know, you kind of, when I first looked at it, I was like, well, this is interesting. And then I realized they were celebrating, right, in this video. She's talking about doing her nails, doing her hair, right? But they're celebrating hair types that aren't your stereotypical, right, hair type. There's no flat irons in this video to straighten hair. It is celebrating race and ethnicity and culture of what Lizzo wants to celebrate, right? And so it's amazing to see this. And she, the whole video, the whole song is about feeling good, right? Okay, so this is where I want you to stop right here. I want you to go out and I want you to watch. There's going to be two videos on this one. The first one is Good as Hell by Lizzo. That is the video in the beauty salon. Okay, so I want you to stop right now. I'll be here when you get back, right? Come right back to me and I'll be here. So press pause, go out, Google Good as Hell by Lizzo. Okay, are you back now? Okay, okay. I'm glad because I really want to talk about this video some more. So Good as Hell, right? You see that there are women, they're getting their hair done, they're getting this. But the whole message is, you know, take care of yourself. Be good. You're feeling good, right? You don't need this man to define you or make you feel good. So that's, right, the first message. And I have to tell you, I watched a video last night as well of Lizzo in concert, and I was equally shocked by it and amazed by it because she was so brilliant. Good as Hell by Lizzo. The crazy thing about this is, again, they did two videos about this. And when I saw the first video, I was like, this is really cool. And then I saw the second video. Now, you think it'd be enough to have one really excellent video for a song, but Lizzo went above and beyond and did two videos. And the second video, I think, is actually more powerful than the first. And the second video is, you know, can I say this? That I think it made the song even better? I can. This is my podcast. I'm going to say it. Because not only does Lizzo celebrate varied body types, varied hairstyles. It highlights a college marching band, blacks in college, talent, hard work, and dedication. Oh, by the way, and it reinforces that a woman can feel good as hell without a man. And again, stop right here. Now go back out and find Lizzo, Good as Hell, the college version, right? It's a marching band version. You'll see it. It's a little bit, right? But she doesn't pretend in those stereotypes. And this video is an in-your-face, I will do what I want, and because I'm backed by talent and hard work, right? So, okay, pause right now. Go out, find Lizzo, Good as Hell, in the marching band, right? Go out, find it. I'll be here when you get back. Okay, are you back? Did you watch it? Okay, did you watch it two times? Okay, go back and watch it again, because seriously, it's that good. This video challenges every negative stereotype of race and ethnicity, body type norms, and gendered expectations that we have. We all sing along when Lizzo comes on the radio at our house, because she celebrates women. She celebrates women of all sizes. She challenges those stereotypes. And it's something that when my daughter, who is 11 years old, says, Mom, can we put Lizzo on? I say, absolutely. And when my 9-year-old son says, Mom, can we put Lizzo on? I say, absolutely. It challenges stereotypes. It teaches men and women what they can expect, right, from each other. And in this case, it is not anything that is the normal stereotypical gendered roles. So we've looked at quite a few music videos now, both in country music and in pop music. The question comes back to how do these images in the media perpetuate and reinforce gendered stereotypes? What type of women are portrayed over and over and over again? Are most or all of the women a certain body type, a certain race, have similar hair and makeup? Usually we find that, yes, especially within a genre of music, that women and men will look very similar, although it's usually more that women will look more similar to other women. And so, you know, it's this, we watch these over and over and over again. And this is just one point of, right, where media is, where we get our media images from, are these music videos. But oftentimes we see them as innocuous, as really not having an influence on us, when, you know, if we see them, dozens of times, and we see many of them over and over and over again, we start to internalize those values, beliefs, behaviors, and stereotypes of men and women. Right? It's not just one video that's gendered, by the way. For decades, the music industry has banked on gendered stereotypes in music videos to sell records. We hear the gendered messages all day, every day, and we've been doing that for about 40 years with music videos. Okay. One last video, and this one is a new one for me, but I was curious about what the most popular music video on YouTube is. As of today, April 15th, that song is Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. I've never heard of this song before, and its lyrics are in Spanish, so I needed to look up the English translation. Although, really, just watching the video told me exactly what the lyrics confirmed. They basically said this: hey, beautiful woman who fits a very narrow body type that is unachievable by the majority of women and who has perfect hair and is wearing skimpy clothes, I've been watching you and I want to do naughty things to you. Right? That was it. It's a great, catchy tune. This video has nearly 7 billion with a B views on YouTube. Every woman in this video is dressed scantily and dresses provocatively, even in the middle of the street, in the middle of a group of people. It's dirty dancing on steroids. I could not believe when I saw that 7 billion people had watched this video. It blew my mind. It was Every single aspect of this song was sexual. Every single dance move, every single smile, every single twirl of the hair was sexual. The woman was entirely sexualized for the pleasure and the viewing pleasure and the sexual pleasure of the men in the video. Oh, okay. So go out right now, go to YouTube, right? And look up Despacito. It's a great song. Again, really catchy, beautiful visuals. Somewhere in Puerto Rico, I believe. Gorgeous. It's great. Go watch it. I'll be back. Right? I'll be right here when you get back. So go out, search it. Despacito. It has 7 billion views. Go watch it. Go now. Okay. Are you back? Did you watch it? 7 billion views, right? Okay. So just for a different perspective on how a video can portray the exact same message as Despacito, but challenge the gendered stereotypes that empower men and minimize the worth of women, check no further than the third most played music video on YouTube, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You. I had no idea that Ed Sheeran's Shape of You was that popular, by the way. It's got something like 4.7 billion views at this point. So nowhere close to the 7 billion of Despacito, but still doing pretty good. Anyway, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You is, I've always liked the video. It's something that I was very familiar with, but it's kind of an interesting thing. Ed makes fun of himself in this video a bit at the end. There's a sumo wrestling match that's hilarious. But the entire video, when Ed talks about he is in love with your body, which is essentially what Despacito is saying as well, he says he is in love with your body. He's talking to one woman who is not the stereotypical body type or skin color as we see in so many other videos, who he has a relationship with and who is physically strong and has similar interests as Ed has, boxing in this fictionalized Ed Sheeran portrayal, right? It's refreshing to see a video that challenges stereotypes of both men and women. Now, right, this is an incredible message that you can take with you. See what he's saying about this woman. It shows them in a coffee shop having dinner. It shows them, you know, being emotionally intimate. It shows them being on an equal playing field in a boxing ring. And it's not violence in the form of boxing. It's exercise. It's empowerment in the form of boxing. Completely different message about the worth of this woman, culminating in the end when she comes and saves Ed from the sumo wrestler. It's pretty funny. Again, it kind of makes fun of Ed at the end, but it's refreshing overall. So check out these videos if you want to. Again, Despacito, had no idea what that was. Good video, horrible message. Women are only there if they're beautiful and they're there for our sexual pleasure, and that's it. Where, you know, just the opposite of that is Ed Sheeran, who is saying the exact same thing. I want to be next to you. I want your body, but, right, to do it in a respectful way, in a refreshing way. Okay, so now I want you to go out and find a few videos to analyze their gendered and racial stereotypes. I'm looking forward to seeing what videos you choose. Don't choose any of the ones I talked about today, and see what stereotypes you found in them. Well, that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed this first episode of my podcast. I hope you've learned and looked at videos in a little bit different way. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, although I'm not that active there. But you can find me on Twitter at mcpiva or on the web at mariannepiva.com. I am Marianne Piva. Until next time, stay safe, take care of yourself, be well, and remember, sociology matters.